If you would, please, then turn to 2 Corinthians and chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Go ahead and shut that, Brother Kelly. Thank you. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I want to read verse 1 through verse 10. Verse 2 will be our text. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1 says, "We then, as workers together with Him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For He saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in laborers, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things." We stop right there. Our text will be verse 2. What do you think that you would do if you knew that you only had so long to live? What if you knew that you were going to die today at 5 p.m.? Or what if you knew that Jesus was coming back Tuesday at 11:15 in the morning? Would you do anything differently? Is there something that you need to do before the departing time comes? Have you been saying for years now, you know, I need to prearrange my funeral? Or have you said, one of these days I'm going to go to my friend and tell her that I'm sorry and make things right? Is there something which you have been intending to do, but for some reason you just never got around to doing it? Now, I'm not saying go sell your house and take the vacation that you never had. I'm not advocating for you to get out your charge card and go buy all those things which you think you deserve. I'm not saying to you to be immoral or ungodly or to be evil. Don't do as others who figure that, well, you know, the time is short, and so then they go out and they buy everything on their credit card knowing that they're not going to have to pay. Don't do any of that kind of thing. Rather, my suggestion is, are there any decisions that need to be made and they should be made today? And so if that be the case, then today you ought to make them. I want to speak to you a message out of 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2, which I've entitled, "Today is the Day." And may God speak to our hearts. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for the privilege of being in your house. Thank you for these that could be with us. And we ask that you would just still our hearts from the thoughts and the cares of the world. Let there be nothing distract as we look into your word and discuss your word. And Father, we ask that you would work by your spirit, taking that word to meet every need of every heart. We pray especially for those in our midst who are lost, that you would convict them of their sin, draw them to Jesus Christ, and Lord, we pray that you would save them if it be your will today. And Lord, just help us to search our hearts. We do lift up those that are not well, that you'd be pleased to bless them. Those who would love to be here and cannot, we pray that you would send healing. And Lord, we just thank you again that we can come together in your name. We love you, we honor you, we praise you. So teach us, we pray. Cause us to worship you in Jesus' name and amen. I say to you, today is the day. Let's look into verse 2. "For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I secured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And what you'll find is, as we enter into this text, the Apostle Paul makes a quotation from the Old Testament Scripture. Now, this quotation is found, and I'm inviting you to turn to Isaiah chapter 49. In the first half of our verse, he refers to Scripture, and he says, I have heard thee in the time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I secured thee. Isaiah chapter 49. This is where the quote is found. It's found in the first half of this verse as well. It'll be verse 8, the first part of the verse, but we'll read the entire verse. So Isaiah 49 verse 8. Thus saith the Lord, in an acceptable time have I heard thee, and in a day of salvation have I helped thee, and I will preserve thee and give thee for a covenant of the people to establish the earth, to cause to inherit the desolate heritages. Now, if you take time, we're not going to read verse 1 through verse 6, but verse 1 through verse 6 deals with the declaration of the restorer of Israel. And if you read these verses, it can be applied either to Isaiah as the prophet speaking to the nation, bringing them back to a place where they ought to be, or it may be applied to the Lord Jesus Christ in a prophetic sense, which many believe that it is, or actually it can be applied to both. That's not unusual in the Old Testament Scriptures and prophecy, that it applies to the present time and then also to a future time. Either way, what we have is a declaration of a restorer to the nation of Israel. And the quote which we have referenced in our passage is found in verse 8, and this quote is nestled in the verses from verse 7 through verse 12. And so notice verse 7 as you do that God speaks to the Redeemer or the Restorer who should be despised. So verse 7, thus saith the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and His Holy One, to whom man despiseth, to him whom the nation abhorreth, to a servant of rulers, kings shall see and arise, princes also shall worship, because of the Lord that is faithful and the Holy One of Israel, and He shall choose thee. And so this restorer, redeemer is despised, he's rejected, but God speaks to him and says, I'll turn that around, if I may use it in that sense. Then we read verse 8. And this, in my perspective, appears to be a statement made to the restorer or to the redeemer, if you will, of Israel, and even including the message unto further to the Gentiles. But in verse 8, thus saith the Lord, in an acceptable time have I heard thee, and in the day of salvation have I helped thee, and I will preserve thee and give thee for a covenant of the people to establish the earth, to cause to inherit the desolate heritages. And so what we find is the inclusion of the Gentiles in that statement. Going on into verse 9, the first part of the verse, we recognize that the restorer can declare to the captives. And so he says that thou mayest say to the prisoners, there's something that's going to be said. And so in verse 9, the latter part of verse through verse 12, speaks of the results of the deliverance. And it's declared there, go forth. What is this restorer to say? Go forth to them that are in darkness. Show yourselves. They shall feed in the ways, and their pastors shall be in all high places. They shall not hunger nor thirst, neither shall the heat nor sun smite them. For he that hath mercy on them shall lead them. Even by the springs of water shall he guide them. And I will make all my mountains a way, and my highway shall be exalted. Behold, these shall come from far, and lo, these from the north and from the west, and these from the land of Sinim. And so this deliverance that's going to be offered. You kind of have an idea of what's going on in the entire passage. Back up to verse 8 where our quote is found. And three things I want to bring to your attention before we go back to our text in the New Testament Scriptures. In verse 8, the first part of the verse, It seems to me to refer to a prayer that's offered by the restorer or the redeemer, which, by the way, has a sense of urgency behind it. Thus saith the Lord, in an acceptable time have I heard thee, and in the day of salvation have I helped thee. And so what do we have here? He says, hey, I've heard your prayer. I'm going to make a quick reference to the book of Psalms, and I'm going to look at the second psalm. If we were to apply this passage, and I think that we well can apply this to the prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ, in Psalm 2, there is a verse 7 and verse 8, the prophetic passage, and it seems to express the Messiah's prayer. It says in verse 7, I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. God says, you ask of me. And I believe that what we have expressed in the reference here, as found in Isaiah chapter 49 and in verse 8, I have heard you in an accepted time. I have heard you in the day of salvation. I have helped thee. And so he says, I have heard your prayer. And so if this indeed be a prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ, then he hears that prayer in an expedient fashion. Verse 8, the middle part of the verse, he says, in the day of salvation have I helped thee. In Corinthians, it says, I have secured thee or comforted thee. This seems to indicate God's comfort toward the restorer, the redeemer, that, there are reasons not to be comforted, but I'm going to make a reference to Hebrews chapter 5, and then I'll go back to Psalms in just a second, but Hebrews chapter 5. Was there a time that Jesus suffered? Was there a time that as the Messiah could possibly be a daunting time? Hebrews chapter 5 verse 7 says, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death and was heard in that he feared, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Do we read in the passage there, strong crying and tears, prayers? Does God hear the prayers of his restorer, of his redeemer? Our text references and that we're finding in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, I have heard thee in a time accepted. Permit me to share Psalm 22. Psalm 22, this also is a prophetic psalm of the Lord Jesus Christ. It says in verse 23 and verse 24, ye that fear the Lord, praise him. All ye the seed of Jacob, glorify him and fear him, all ye seeds of Israel. For he hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, neither hath he hid his face from him, but when he cried unto him, he heard. Did the Heavenly Father hear the prayers of the Lord Jesus Christ? Absolutely he did. And we come through Isaiah 49, and we see these things borne out in verse 8 about a reference to the prayer of this restorer and of God's comfort toward him, toward this restorer. And the latter part of verse 8 seems to mention the work of the restorer. Now this goes apart from the quotation that's found in the New Testament scripture, but here's his labor, and he says, and I will give thee for a covenant of the people, verse 8, to establish the earth and to cause to inherit the desolate heritages. So God will restore his people, but also throughout the whole earth. And I said unto you before that that seems to include then, of course, the Gentiles. And to me, this seems to answer the prayer that he has made. Now, when you go back to our text in 2 Corinthians in chapter 6, he quotes from Isaiah 49 and verse 8, And then in our text, Paul exhorts the readers at the church of Corinth. And so we took a look at the quote, and then he says, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." How does the Old Testament text and the application or the expression to the matter of the either Isaiah and the Lord Jesus Christ or the Lord Jesus Christ, how does that fit here? Why did Paul draw this in? I believe that Paul brings in the work of the Restorer and the Redeemer and he applies it to the Corinthians in the matter of salvation. And with this, there is indeed the sense of urgency. Why would I say that? Well, if you look into our text, back up at the latter part of verse 1, he's talking about his fellow workers, his laborers, and he beseeches them. And notice what he exhorts them. He says, "I beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain." Then we have this parenthetical. This parenthetical applies, he inserted it right here. It applies to that last statement about those who might have received the grace of God in vain. This deals something with God's grace, doesn't it? Secondly, the emphasis of the context is that the true service of all those who truly believe is found here. When we began to read, if you'll skip verse 2 and you read, and you see, read verse 1, "We then as workers together with him beseech you that you receive not the grace of God in vain." Verse 3, "Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed." And then he gives in all kinds of areas and aspects and examples and ways of which we can serve the Lord Jesus Christ and not give offense to the ministry. But he sticks in that parenthetical. The context deals with all those who truly believe and the type of life they ought to live, which belongs to the majority of us here. If you're lost, that would not apply to you, but I believe that verse 2 does. Now, the verse 2, as I mentioned, is a parenthetical. A parenthetical in any type of literature, but in the scripture certainly as well. It is the idea, but it's an inserted thought within, it's a thought injected into the text. And so it's, in our society, if you're reading a book and you get to a footnote, the author wants to say something, but he doesn't want to leave it in the paragraph, and so he'll put a footnote, and you can go down there and read the thought of the footnote, right? These parentheticals are like that. It's a thought that came to his heart by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that he needed to include, but it's a parenthetical. And that King James aptly puts that thought by itself, you see it in the parentheses, don't you? You can read verse 1 down through verse 10, and it makes perfect sense if you skip verse 2. It makes perfect sense with verse 2, but verse 2 is there. Why did he put verse 2 there? I submit unto you that this quotation regards salvation, the salvation that's provided by the Redeemer. Notice, "I have heard thee in the time accepted and in the day of salvation." And then Paul extends that to the readers at Corinth, the readers of this epistle, and that exhortation, of course, is that, hey, what's the time frame on this? If you have received the grace of God in vain, latter part of verse 1, then, or it hasn't had any effect upon you, then you need to realize that today is the day. Does that translate to our modern society? It does, because there are many people in Christian churches, even this morning, that believe that they have a Christian testimony, but they have received the grace of God in vain. They think they're saved and they are not. And Paul's writing to these people, and he knows that there could be in that midst of people who have received the grace of God in vain. And so as he gives this exhortation, verse 1 to verse 10, to the true believers and how they ought to live and give no offense to the preaching of the gospel and to the ministry, he says, oh, by the way, if you receive the grace of God in vain, I want you to know that now is the accepted time. That's what the scripture says. He's heard, he can hear your prayer. Today is the day of salvation. So behold now. Does that make sense? It does to me. I hope it makes sense to you. This being the text and why this parenthetical is here. Let's think about verse 2 for the remainder of our time. There are three things I want to mention unto you. One is the topic. Look at verse 2. this topic I submit unto you involves salvation. He says, I have heard thee in a time accepted, in a day of salvation have I secured thee. The topic is salvation. If you're here and you're not saved today, you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then you need to pay attention, don't you? Because you're still in need of salvation. And Paul addresses the issue of salvation. Three things I want to submit unto you. First of all, the why of salvation. Why is it that you need salvation? Simply, it's because of sin. And we don't have time to look at all the verses, and we can make a lot of references. I'll just tell you, according to the Scripture, and if you've been with us on Sunday afternoons, we've been going through the book of Romans. Chapter 3 makes it very clear. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The reason you need a Savior, the reason you need to be saved, is because you're a sinner against the holy God, and you're under condemnation, and you're looking at the wrath of God upon you for all eternity. And so the why of salvation is because you're lost and undone without hope. That's why. And so Paul says, if you've received the grace of God in vain, you need to be saved. That's the why of salvation. Secondly, is the who of salvation. Well, really, it applies to all men, doesn't it? Because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You say, well, I'm already saved. Yeah, but there was a time that you needed to be saved, right? Because everyone has sinned. And so the who of salvation is everyone. He talks about salvation. Anyone that's lost needs to be saved. That's the who of salvation. The third is the how of salvation. And if you know anything about the Apostle Paul and how he would answer that question, and you'll find that it's by grace through faith in Jesus Christ apart from works. And by the way, that's the exact same way that we continue to preach and teach today. If you tell me that you're lost, you're going to the devil's hell, and you want to know how you can be forgiven of your sin, I'm going to point you to Jesus. I'm going to tell you how Christ died for your sin according to the Scriptures, how that He was buried, how He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. I'll tell you how you need to repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ that you might have eternal life, because you're going to be saved by grace through faith apart from works, and there is no other way. I will tell you that, and I'll be as clean as and clear as I can be about it, because Jesus is your only hope. And so the how of salvation, he declares unto them, in the day of salvation, it's going to be the gospel that Paul preached again and again and again, and it's the same gospel that we preach yet today. So the topic in our text is salvation. The second thing is the task. What is he telling them to do? He says, for I have heard thee, or he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted and in the day of salvation. What is it that they need to do? This is a time accepted. You need to respond in this day so that you might be saved. In other words, let me express it this way. What is the time accepted for you that are lost? What is this day of salvation for you that are lost? It is the necessity of repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I just said unto you that Jesus is the way of salvation. He is the only way. And so as a lost person, how can you have eternal life? How can you be forgiven of your sin? According to the Scripture, you must repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the act that's being spoken of here in the text. You need to cry out to God. You need to turn unto Him. And so he says, in the time accepted, in the day of salvation, this is what you need to do. Is this what Paul had spoken? In Acts chapter 16 and in verse 31, if you remember the story about when Paul and Silas were incarcerated and there was a great earthquake and the jailer come bounding in after the earthquake happened and the doors were loose, he said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And in Acts chapter 16, verse 31, they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. That was the answer. Do you think that was a response that the jailer needed to respond to? Well, he did, by the way. He did believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And they took Paul to his house and Silas to his house and washed his stripes because they had been beaten with a scourge and took care of them. But they believed. He and his whole house believed. When did they believe? Well, they believed the same day that he heard that. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. I say the same thing to you today. Today is the day. Do not wait. John chapter 3, verse 16. Do you have that memorized? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Is that what you need to do? You need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. When? You say, today. Today. John chapter 5, verse 24, Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." That's a great promise, isn't it? Have you believed? And so, today is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation, and what Paul is expressing to them, if they've received the grace of God in vain, they need to receive it in reality. They need to truly believe. They need to repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. So what do we read over in Romans chapter 10? Turn over there if you would. Romans chapter 10, very common text, verse 9 and verse 10. We read there that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Dear sinner friend, this is your answer. This is the resolution to all your problems. This is the Savior of your sins. It's Jesus Christ. Do you believe that Jesus Christ was crucified, buried, and risen again? Have you cried unto him for forgiveness? Have you repented and trusted him? The scripture says that if you believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, do you believe he was crucified, buried, and risen? And verse 10 says, "For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Dear sinner friend, you need righteousness, and you're going to only get that righteousness through faith. It does not come by joining a church. It doesn't come through baptism. It doesn't come by living a good life or eating communion. My friend, salvation comes through Jesus Christ. You need Jesus Christ's righteousness. He's the only one that can give it to you because it's His. And if you're lost and undone today, the only way you can have eternal life is to repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And you say, "When should I do so?" Do so today. Do so today. That's what Paul is telling these readers. So you're looking back into the text. The third point about our verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2 is the timing. He says, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Now. Three things quickly. One, there is a sense of urgency. Now. Paul didn't say, "Wait till you're on your deathbed." Now. If you receive the grace of God in vain, today, now, do it now. See Paul's emphasis? There's a sense of urgency, isn't it? Secondly, there's the sense of availability. If Paul's telling these readers that are lost that they might be saved and they ought to do it today, doesn't that mean that the salvation is available to them? You know, some people that are lost and know something about religion, they go around there thinking, "Well, I've done too much, I've been too bad, I cannot be saved. I've just gone too far, God can't cleanse me." I want you to know that God can cleanse you and you can be saved. You've not gone too far. Dead is dead, my friend, and God can give you life. When can He give you life? He can give it to you today. He can give it to you right now, right where you are. If you repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, as He moves in your heart, as He convicts you, as He draws you, you can be saved now. You don't have to wait till an invitation time. Right now, if you'll repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, He'll give you eternal life. Do you believe that? I believe that. That's what the Bible teaches. And so Paul gives the sense of urgency and the sense of availability, but then thirdly, there is a sense of expediency. This is the right thing to do. You receive the grace of God in vain. You have a false profession. You need to make it real. You need to make it genuine, and you need to do so today. Today. It's expedient to do so. Now, you might be asking the question, as I think about the title of the message, is "Today is the Day." And I've spoken to you about the necessity of it, the expediency in verse 2. I think about the exhortation that Paul gives here in verse 2. I want to offer you some examples. I say to you, today is the day. That's what Paul was saying. Why should you do so? Let me offer you a few examples. You remember the thief on the cross? Remember when Jesus was crucified, there was individuals, one on each side of him, and Jesus was in the middle. And there was one of the thieves on the cross. And over in Luke chapter 23, it talks about that there was a change of this guy as he hung there on the cross. If you go through the passion description, you'll find that at the beginning of the crucifixion that both thieves condemned Christ and criticized him. But over a period of time, as that one thief on the cross, he recognized that Jesus really was who he said he was. And he says, remember me when you come into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, here's Luke 23:43. Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Here's a guy being crucified. He's on his deathbed. And in just a little time, he's going to be gone. And he knows he's going to be gone. He doesn't have till tomorrow. And he doesn't have next week, does he? And Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. Why? Because the man repented and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, today. You say, why should I be saved? Today, because you don't know you have tomorrow. My understanding of the storms that just passed through here, 10 people, maybe 11, lost their lives in that storm yesterday as it passed through here and continued east. They thought they had tomorrow. Those people on the jetliner flying out of Tehran thought they had the next day, and they were killed in 2 minutes after they left off the flight. They weren't expecting that. You don't know you have tomorrow. We'll talk about that in a moment. There's also a reference found in Daniel chapter 5. A second example is, you remember Belshazzar? And Belshazzar was a king over Babylon, and he was a corrupt guy, and he was worshiping false gods and goddesses, and he got the instruments of the true God and brought them in, and they were drinking out of the Lord's cups and praising idols and so forth. And there came a handwriting on the wall. You remember the story? The part of the hand came and wrote on the wall, many, many, tekel, upharsin. Well, anyway, that meant, and Daniel chapter 5 speaks of in verse 26 through verse 27, Daniel interpreted it for him and says, God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. And he warned him, you're going to die. And so in Daniel chapter 5 verse 30, it says, in that night was Belshazzar the king of the Chaldeans slain. The handwriting came and warned him, you're going to die. You're going to die. So if he was going to be saved, when was he going to be saved? He's going to be saved today, not tomorrow. Is that an example? You know, the parable of the rich man found in Luke chapter 16, verse 16, down through verse 21. Do you know what it says in verse 20 of that text? But God said unto him, thou fool, but this night shall thy soul be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? Here's the rich man. He says, I have barns, and I'm going to build bigger barns, and I'm going to eat, drink, and be merry. I'm going to take it easy the rest of my life. And God said to him, you're a fool. This night your soul is required of you. If that guy was going to be saved, when he was going to be saved? Before he died. Before the night was over. Today. Today. Does that make sense? A couple verses of warning. James chapter 4, verse 14 says, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. It's gone, isn't it? You know, the older I get, the quicker life goes. And you say, well, I might live to be 100. You might, but when you get to be 100, you go, boy, that just went by like that, didn't it? Didn't seem it at the time, but it just goes by. I tell you, it doesn't matter. Man's life is nothing. It's just air and it's gone. So in Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 1, it says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. You do not know. And you that are here that are lost are taking a real gamble with your soul because you're saying, well, I know I'm lost. I know I need the Savior, but not today. That's a risk. You have no guarantee of tomorrow. So I'm going to take the exhortation that the Apostle Paul offers. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Get the emphasis of the passage? See the text? Let me offer you just a few thoughts in closing. In the context itself, we have the Apostle Paul encouraging true Christian service, does he not? Verse 1 all the way down through verse 10 talks about how we ought to live and not give offense to the ministry. When should we do that as Christians? Well, we can make the application, as he says in the text. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. When are we going to serve the Lord? We can only serve Him today. I submit unto you that you might, by application of the context, just consider that today is the day that you need to serve Jesus Christ. Now, certainly within the context and the verse itself, as we've discussed and applied the text to the matter of salvation and those who might have received the grace of God in vain, when should you be saved? When in actuality should you come to Christ? Well, it's going to be the same answer, isn't it? Today. Today. Because today is today. I'm going to go to Hebrews chapter 3 and then I'm going to be done. Hebrews chapter 3. Listen, if you will, if you don't want to turn over there, but verse 7, verse 8, Hebrews chapter 3. I want you to notice this, and I have a quote, and I'll be finished. Hebrews 3, 7 says, wherefore, see a parenthetical, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness. The Jews, after they left Egypt, hardened their hearts. He says, don't you be like that. Today, the writer of the Hebrews writes. Go to verse 12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we were made partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said, today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. You might have a false profession. Today, you need to make that right. Today, you need to have a real profession. Verse 19. So we see then that they could not enter in because of unbelief. And so the Jews perished in the wilderness because they hardened their hearts, would not believe. And the writer of the Hebrews says, learn from that. And do not harden your heart. You need to make sure that you're genuine today. Today. Today is the day. Here's the quote. Your sin is either upon yourself and will be judged even to the lake of fire, or your sin is on the Savior and has been judged in the shedding of His blood, in the pouring out of His life. I know that my sin is on the Savior, and that His life poured out has given me life forever. I know that I shall stand cleansed in His ransom with all my sins forever paid for by the shedding of His precious blood. Will you, in this moment, turn away from every alluring voice that would keep you from your salvation and come to the Savior that His blood might avail for you and cleanse you from all your sin? Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. The day of the flowing fountain of His blood is still here. Today, beware lest the judgment of the cross take the place of the mercy of the cross. For the day of the end of mercy will come, and the day of full judgment will succeed it. Woe to the man who is not hidden in the refuge of the riven side of the Lord Jesus Christ. There in that cleft rock from which the blood flowed, we shall be forever safe. End of quote. What did he say? When did he say? Today. Just as Paul said. Today, my friend, is the day. Christian, will you live for the Lord Jesus Christ today? Dear sinner, you're lost. You need the Savior. You need to be saved. When should you be saved? Today. That's the exhortation of the Scripture. Let's stand. Father, thanks for the day. Bless Your word to our hearts as only You can by the work of Your Spirit. Draw Your people unto Yourself, but then we do pray for those that are lost, that You'd be pleased to open up their heart, let the light shine out of the darkness. Pray that You would convict and draw and woo, grant repentance and faith, give life today, that those who are lost would be saved today. We ask it in Jesus' name. and amen. 342, if you would, 342.